Welcome to Active Activism, part of the FemOn Collective. On this show, my guests share the causes important to them, how they became involved, and why we should be active in our activism. Meow, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Active Activism. Today's guest is a renowned cartoonist and graphic artist, Mara Naomi, whom I had the pleasure of meeting at last year's AWP. During a panel, they mentioned their advocacy for marginalized cartoonists, and they also presented the beautiful graphic novel, I Thought You Loved Me, at Dime Grinds, which is the author meet and greet that I host for Henderson Writers Group. After hearing their passion for helping others, I knew I had to have them on this show. Welcome. Please introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Hi, it's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me. Let's see, I've been making autobio and fiction comics and graphic novels since, 1997. So not quite 30 years yet, but almost. I think I've published 9 books so far, 8 books. I don't know, I'm losing count. And what else do I do? I also was the creator, the founder and admin of the Cartoonists of Color database, the Queer Cartoonist database, and the Disabled Cartoonist databases. I also do mentorship sometimes. Occasionally, I've been known to teach, although that's not really my forte, and articles, blah, blah, blah. That's what I do.
Well, do you identify as an activist?
I think so. Yeah, I do. I wax and wane, but it's something I feel very passionately about a lot of things. And when I feel like I have the ability to help control something for the greater good, I do my best to do it. I'm on the spectrum. I'm probably in the middle.
Okay. So why don't you share a bit about why your advocacy is important to you?
I have a heart. I don't know. when I mention things that I can control, I mean, I don't know if you feel this way, but like I feel so deeply, passionately about so many things. And there are some things that I just can't control or I feel too passionate about. And so I don't even touch those things because just dipping my toe in makes me too sad about it. Like, I don't know, for a while I was doing a trap neuter release with stray cats. And the more I did it, the more I had to do and the sadder I would get. And I realized, we can't save all of them. And right. As much as I want to save some of them, because I know some is better than none, I would just get pulled in too deep, and I'm no use to anyone if I'm that depressed. So I had to kind of step away from that lifestyle. But there are things that I can do, and when I find those things that I can do without completely depleting my psychic energy, I do what I can.
And I understand that, because sometimes it costs so much to give to something that you don't have anything else to give afterward. And then you're not really continuing to help at that point. So you have to find something that can balance the giving with what you're receiving and replenishing you so that you have more to give.
So absolutely.
One type thing.
Yeah, there's so animal, like probably the most passionate thing I feel about is animal rights and that sort of thing. But that's the one thing that I won't touch. I won't write about it because it's just too important to me. But there are other things like social things causes that I could help with and don't feel completely gutted by. So, I do that. I mean, I do a little with the animals. I have adopted quite a few.
And that's exactly why I don't volunteer at the animal shelters, because I would just fill my house,
Exactly. My best friend is currently volunteering at the Oakland Animal Shelter, and every day she's there. She texts me all these photos of dogs who don't have homes. And I'm like, this is why I'm not a dog. like we're
Right.
meeting next to you.
This
Oh,
hurts
breaking my
me.
heart.
The idea of walking out with their heartbreaking faces, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah, the last time I visited one, I need to change
Okay.
the
But you know, there are other ways to help those shelters.
Yes.
There's money you could donate. There are things like blankets and, you know, extra food that they could use. And I know people who do go and volunteer, and they'll just, you know, hang out with the animals just to give them someone to spend time with.
Oh.
Or I know my roommate is looking to start being the person to take pictures of them to make them look really cute to make sure people adopt them.
Oh, that sounds so
So we can
fun.
support the people who are able to do it.
Yes.
But the reason I invited you here, the main reason, is because of your advocacy for marginalized cartoonists. So will you tell us about your databases? Give us the
Sure.
origin story.
Let's see. I think it was 2014. Oh my God, it's been 10 years almost
Wow,
since I
congratulations.
started. I don't know how I feel about this.
That
Yeah, I
you've been
was.
working for 10 years toward helping other people. That's a wonderful thing to celebrate. Don't worry about what that means for your age.
It's not about my age, it's about all the free work I've been doing.
Oh,
All
well, you know, that's the
the money I've spent. Oh my gosh, wow. Yeah, so it was about 2014, and I was writing an article. And the article ended up being called How to Write People of Color If You Happen to Be a Person of Another Color. At the time, I didn't know exactly what I was writing about. All I knew was I was writing about people of color and how to depict people of color and the ways that people go wrong depicting people that are not themselves. I mean, it's really, I feel like a lot of white people have really latched on to this, but I mean, it's really for everybody because we're all, you know, when we're, especially if we're writing fiction, but even if we're not, we're still representing other people than ourselves. And I think it's really important to put the work in and not just, you know, phone it in and, you know,
Right.
throw some color on or whatever. Anyway, I'm not an expert. So at the time I was doing a little research and I thought, you know, who could I reach out to talk about this and get their perspective and, you know, have them in the article, which is what I ended up doing, is having a bunch of cartoonist friends in the article and showing like how they deal with the subject and that sort of thing. But when I was researching the article, I was like, well, maybe I should go outside of my friend group. Like, who else is out there? And up to this point, since the 90s, I've been told that there weren't any cartoonists of color. And, you know, I'm one and I know
Right.
others. I didn't have a
Who felt they had the
huge,
authority to say that there are none?
oh, so many people,
Like,
so
how is
many
that?
people.
Like, you don't know everyone, so how can you possibly know that this doesn't exist?
I mean, these are the same kinds of people who do casting calls and they're like, oh, we want to get a Indigenous person to play this Indigenous person on TV. And oh, we couldn't find any, there aren't any. It's the same kind of
Where
mentality.
did you look?
Exactly. Like, who
Or
did you,
more importantly, did you look?
how hard did you try? Like, what did you know, put a little effort in? Because it wasn't that hard for me to find some people. Now, at the time it was, I Googled and I was able to find very little on Google. I mean, now we know that Google's kind of useless, but at the time it was considered more useful. And I was able to find in my own Rolodex, and online just very few people, like I don't know, a dozen folks. And I wasn't super connected to any kind of larger community. And then I'm like, this sucks. There's nothing out there. I decided to reach out to Twitter, which was 10 years ago, a little better than it
Yeah, a lot
is
more
now.
useful then.
And you know, so I was crowdsourcing on Twitter, on Facebook, and other places, and asking people. And I was able to come up with a list of like 100, maybe 150 people, which blew me away. I was like, wow, there's so many of us. I can't believe it. And there were so many that I was writing them all down. And like, I had to put this in a spreadsheet because I'm starting to write down the same names again and again. And soon I had this spreadsheet of over 100 people. And I'm like, wow, someone should really make a database of this. Like, this is really helpful for the next time, you know, someone says there aren't any. Well, look, I have these people right here. And of course, at the time I was doing all these different projects, I had no time, but I realized,
Right.
oh, I'm the one who has this information. That somebody is me.
Bless you for that.
Well, I mean, what was I gonna do? So I had to do it. Like,
There
it
are lots
was,
of people who just leave it at someone should do something. The end.
I mean, but like, yeah, but like I had to. Like, I knew at that moment, I was like, dang, okay, I gotta do this. And I made this really just, I stitched together a little website. It wasn't even a database, it was just a list of names, and it said, okay, this is for anyone who needs it. And over the years, it's grown and grown and grown, and I now it's an actual database. I have an actual database engineer who I hired to do this. He originally came in and said, like, look, your website sucks. Here, let me make you a new one. And a bunch of people had said that to me, and but I didn't have the money like to pay anyone, and I didn't want to take free work, so I kept on saying, no, this is fine. You know, it doesn't have to be fancy. Like, the people get the idea. And so he actually just contacted me and said, your website sucks. Here, look what I've done for you. And so he'd already done the work. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So I ended up just like any kind of donations or anything that I would get from people, which, you know, is not much, but like it comes in here and there, I would just like give it to him. So he's, you know, he's made a little money, but not, you know, not nearly as much as what he
So I'm
deserves.
hearing from you that as an artist, it's important to you that people are paid for the work that they do.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, I, that's why, yeah. Yes, correct. So yeah, there's thousands of people in the database, thousands. And yeah, after I started the Cartoonist of Color, once I had the database up, I was like, you know, now I have this, re like, I know how to do this. You know, it'd be good to have a queer database too of
Ah.
cartoonists. And so I'm like, well, okay, I'll do that too. But that was, I don't want to go too deep into this, but it was a little, I was a little conflicted about just throwing a bunch of names in the database because I didn't want to out anybody.
Yeah.
So I was a little more careful with that. I just went through like published anthologies and took names that way to get started because I
Because
figured,
they've
you
already
know,
outed themselves.
they've outed themselves. And then from that point on, instead of people giving names, I had to be like, you can only submit yourself. Like, you can't submit somebody else. And ultimately, that's what I ended up doing with all the databases. And some people don't consider themselves people of color, or if they do, they don't want to be on the database. So, you know, to just cut out that part, I just have people submit themselves. And then I think it was 2018 when I decided, because of a couple of disabled friends, I'm like, you know, this would be really helpful to have a disabled cartoonist database, like, because I want to hire disabled people, like, I want to have, you know, and I also feel like disabled people need a lot more representation than they get in media, comics, everything. So I started that, and that's the runaway train that is my life.
I also noticed on the databases that you have these filters that are so inclusive. What inspired that, and how did you incorporate that?
Well, a lot of, I mean, I kind of had the ideas, and then I paid my database engineer to do them, and we're actually working on some other ones. But just I got a lot of requests from people saying like, oh, I want to find, and not through the database either, just people like teachers or tradespeople who said, you know, assume that I know everything because I have these databases. They're like, oh, could you recommend 12 indigenous people? And I'm like, no.
Because just because they're in your database doesn't mean that you know their work.
I
That's
mean,
a lot of people.
I do eyeball everyone who comes in to make sure that they belong there. And I usually, I'll go to their website if I have any time, and like, I make sure they're legit. And sure, I but like, it's not like I can retain all that information.
Right.
And I certainly am not going to refer people if I haven't worked with them before. Like, there's, you know, but for example, so I have like location, I have race information, I have gender information, you know. I feel like location is very important, but also like people will be like, I'm in Philadelphia and I want to have a Japanese comics retrospective. Like, who's here? Who can contribute? That's local. Like,
Yeah.
that's very helpful for people. So, you know, I try to make it easy for people so they don't have any excuses.
And I think you have done that. How did you come up with the tagline, which is wonderful, by the way, for visibility, for academia, for inspiration, for community building? How did you come up with that?
I mean, those are just the reasons I did it. And that came as I was making it. Like I just knew what that was from the get-go. I think people were asking me like, why are you spending thousands of your hours instead of going out with friends or enjoying life to making a database? I needed a pithy answer.
That's true. You needed your why, right? And I'm guessing it takes an incredible amount of time to maintain these databases. What keeps you going?
Well, I've got a system now, so it's not too bad. But the first year or so was very hard. There's a lot of work involved. But now all I really do is I approve or deny things that are coming in. So if someone wants to join or someone wants to update their profile, they submit it, and about once a week I look at all the submissions and make sure that everything's in order. I feel like the most common thing I have to do is go back to people and say, oh, you're already in the database. Please do this. Please update your pre-existing account instead of making a duplicate, or your link doesn't work, or you put something in the wrong section, or that sort of thing. So it's pretty simple now. But it wasn't always. There's
What are some?
certainly things that I want to do to the database that are going to make my life a lot harder, and I'm working on it. But those are things to come.
What are some ways that listeners can support you in this? How can they help?
Just use the databases. If you identify as a cartoonist of color, or a queer cartoonist, or a disabled cartoonist, or all of the above, submit your information for it. Tell your friends, tell editors. If someone says, there aren't any disabled cartoonists, or worse, like disabled cartoonists aren't great, or whatever ethnicity cartoonists aren't very good, like you have a place to point. And there's some outstanding talent in the databases. Like every time I get a group of new people, I'm just blown away with what people are doing out there. And I mean, comics, I feel like are the publishing industry is kind of rough right now, but the art form of comics, I feel like, is really flourishing. It feels like a golden age in a lot of ways. But maybe that's just because I'm exposed to so much. And because I'm exposed to so much, anyone can be exposed to so much by just going to the databases and exposing themselves to themselves. Gosh, that's a lot of exposure.
A lot of that is the goal, right?
I don't take like I don't make money off the databases. There's no advertising. I don't, I'm very, very secretive with people's private information. Like I won't give out lists. Like I'm constantly asked for, oh, that what are the emails? I'd like to email everyone in your database. I'm like,
Oh,
that's
no,
not
darling.
how that works. And I know it's an opportunity, but like it's not a mailing list. Like I'm not going to give you that information. Even if it's opportunities, like I'm just so private about it. And that's also kind of the reason that I haven't really given up my control of the databases, is because like it's very precious to me that people have trusted me with their information, and I absolutely do not want to violate that trust. But I don't know, like I feel like just going there and finding people, and like especially like young people who are getting started, like it means so much to them to get commissions or to be invited to shows or to panels. Just use the databases. I mean, if they wanted to support me financially, they can buy my books, but like I don't need that. Like this is my community service, the way I see it.
So basically, spread the word. And if you identify as any of these, join the list if you so choose.
I mean, I do have a Patreon, but which I don't know. just like support it emotionally. I just need emotional support. That's all. And don't like get mad at me if you see something that you don't like in the database. Like I think that's been the hardest part of all this is people who get very critical of things that they think I'm doing wrong.
People are looking to find something wrong.
Yeah. There's been things. I guess the most annoying is when white people get mad at me because I don't include white people in the cartoonists of color database, like especially white men, they try to sneak in. So like, that's why I have to approve things.
Right.
Cause
it's
it's
like,
just,
dude, what are you doing for your people right now?
it's embarrassing, really. I mean, I am a cartoonist of color and I'm a queer cartoonist, but I'm not a disabled cartoonist at the moment. And so like, I don't feel left out that I'm not in there.
Right.
like I'm not trying to sneak my name in and get extra exposure. Like some people, man.
And how can you feel good about that? The
they're
whole thing is
entitled.
People don't see you, sir. We already see you. We are trying to show the world others.
It's a level of entitlement. Another thing that kind of bums me out, but I understand it, are people of color or other like queer cartoonists or disabled cartoonists who should be in the databases, but they feel like, oh, I get enough attention, I don't need to be in here. But I'm like, no, but this is also very important to other queer cartoonists or whatever who don't get enough attention to see your name on there.
Right.
But that's their decision. But like,
Right.
I do encourage people, even if they feel like they don't need the help, to
yeah,
get
maybe
in
they
there.
Don't want to take from other people who aren't getting that visibility.
But they're not really doing that. Like there are people who are deceased in there. Honestly, they're not taking anyone else's attention away. It's just kind of nice. Like I feel so good when I go in there and I see all the Japanese American or mixed race cartoonists. I'm just like, oh, I'm not alone. That's great.
I do. We talked about the inclusive filters, but I mean, they're pretty thorough. And the intersections that you cross, I mean, they're amazing. Because I am biracial, and so many times you go into something, I'm also queer, but, you know, which queer are you? And which biracial are you? And sometimes you don't get to select more than one thing. So what, you have to discount part of your heritage for the box that this organization needs you to check? You don't do that.
It's been a growing experience because like I wasn't sure what people would want. So especially in the early days, like if someone wanted me to add a box, they would tell me and I would. But like I don't believe there are any boxes in there that haven't been requested. So there was a time where people were like, well, where is this? Why are you trying to erase me? I'm like, I'm not. I just like
no,
there's
I
no
just
one else in there.
Didn't know.
Yeah. No, I've been accused of erasure before. I'm like, no, you're the first person who's asked for this. Like, I'm happy to put it there. Please don't shit talk me.
I feel like the website's very clear. If there's something that you feel isn't included, let me know and we'll add it. Like, it's just a request thing. You can't possibly think of all of the labels that people identify as. There's just
yeah,
too.
it's. I feel like that was that made that gave me a lot of anxiety in the beginning. And it gave me a lot of anxiety when I was creating a disabled cartoonist database because that's not a community that I'm a part of.
Right.
And I was like, I don't even know what to call this. Like, what's the right word that's not going to offend anybody? Like, I just want to be as inclusive and good to people as I possibly can. So I really,
without doing
you know,
harm to their community, right?
Right. And so I kind of had to take my own advice and just like let them talk and have other people choose for me. Like, that's really the best way to go when you're trying to represent someone else. Is like, okay, well, listen to their voice and then just give your, I don't know, help them do the work or whatever, or do the work for them, but also let them kind of steer it. So I'm happy to do that.
Well, I appreciate that. What are some other causes that are important to you?
I'm extremely anti-war and anti-violence and anti-military. Really, factory farming is the number one cause for me, and that just drives me crazy. And anti-plastic, human rights is a huge one. Like, I mean, just everyone. I mean, I don't know. I think I have some controversial ideas about, you know, I don't like borders. I don't like nationalism. I don't like separating people and labeling them. Like there's, I have all sorts of feelings about everything. I just think everyone should be treated well, and not just people, everyone.
Right, everyone.
Yeah, the world makes me sad lately, but what else is new?
Well, I appreciate that with the world making you sad, you're still doing your part to make it better for others.
Oh, thanks. I feel like right now everyone's, there's a lot of high tensions. A lot of people are very upset about a lot of things unjustly. And I don't know, I feel like I can't do enough. And even when I can't, like, I feel like there have been people who think that I'm not doing enough too. And I don't know, I'm doing the best that I can, so.
And that's all you can do. And right now it's more important than ever for us to band together and help each other in the ways that we can.
I think so.
But remember to take care of yourself, because if you're not there, you're not going to be able to do anything to help others.
That's true. That's true.
How can people connect with you and support the work that you do, both your professional work and your work with the database?
If they go to my name, which is marianaomi.com, like there's links to everything, my databases, my books, free comics that you could read, all sorts of things. But yeah, the cartoonistsofcolor.com, spelled the American way, not the British way, no you. Disabledcartoonists.com and queercartoonists.com are how to get to the databases, but that's all on my website too.
Well, thank you for sharing your advocacy and for doing the work that you do. Is there anything else you'd like to add to help inspire listeners to be more active in their activism?
Just, you know, be good to each other and to yourselves.
Well, thank you everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, comment, and subscribe. This has been Active Activism, part of the FemOn Collective.